The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust.
Hey, everybody. Back by popular demand, the audience demanded it. The downloads on this podcast were incredible last time we did it with Alex Clark and Joe Bob. They are TPUSA contributors. Alex has an amazing podcast called The Spillover. You're going to want to check that out. It's politics without the pop culture without the propaganda. And it is we talk about everything that's going on in pop culture, and we give you updates on Taylor Swift, Morgan Wallen's haircut, the writer's strike, and how it's affecting late night hosts, a story that nobody apparently cares about or heard of until like yesterday. And very, very fascinating. And we talk about the new Golden Bachelor for those over 60. We see what you guys think. Send us your comments. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Freedom@charliekirk.com. We spill the tea just for you here, as Alex would say. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show. It is me, Andrew Colvett, your executive producer of the Charlie Kirk Show, also guest host for the day. And back by popular demand, we are going to do a pop culture rundown, because when I was hosting before, I brought on Alex Clark and Joe Bob from Turning Point USA, our resident pop culture experts, to break down all the pop culture news, because frankly, we don't always know about it, and we want the pop culture without the propaganda. There, I'm stealing a line from Alex Clark herself. And so I had this idea when I knew I was going to be guest hosting. I thought, what could we do? Hour three, Alex Clark and Joe Buck. So I went back into the data, and I found out that this episode was massively successful. Our audience loved it. So I know we have Alex Clark. Alex Clark, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here representing cute servatives.
I'm going to start with one of my favorite stories of the day. This is funny because we had the same realization as Charlie last night. So let's go ahead and play this, put this Axios article up on the screen. Late night hosts talk Hollywood strikes on new podcasts. Right. So this is a massive story that nobody apparently cares about. So the Hollywood is on strike. They are all part of the Writers Guild of America, right? The WGA, and down in Hollywood, they are constantly striking, it seems. And when that happens, production in Hollywood comes to a halt. Thank goodness, you all might say. Now, as a result of this, the late night hosts, who are terrible without writers, They lean on writers for just about everything you could imagine, except for their interviews. They have gotten together in a new podcast called Strike Force 5, I think, or maybe that was a joke. I'm not exactly sure. I hope we muted this clip because let's just say these people have potty mouths. We got to bleep out some of their swear words. This is perhaps the cringiest thing that I have seen in some time. And just to underscore, I had no idea. I had no idea late night wasn't on. I had no idea there wasn't, you know, multiple hosts that were not doing shows because no one cares. This is not the 90s anymore, folks. Play 165.
One more time, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Fallon.
I'm Stephen Colbert.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. I thought when you said Jimmy, you meant me, Jimmy, but you meant Jimmy, Jimmy.
I always mean you.
But when you say Seth Meyers, who do you mean?
I mean, John Oliver.
It's the five of us together for maybe an hour a day.
Strike Force 5 is the name of our podcast. Subscribe to it now.
Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts.
But Spotify, you.
So they've all gotten together to have a podcast about what exactly? I'm not sure how they're not funny, how they don't want Trump to be president. This is a particularly cringy, let's just say, exposure of just how awful and untalented and unfunny these men truly are. This is going to be an absolute takedown, self-own, unlike anything you've ever seen. So I don't know what – I would love your thoughts. Send your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Will anybody be tuning in? I have no idea. So here's the big picture. This is from Axios article. The show will cover the Hollywood strikes and beyond. And proceeds from the – you see, here's the virtue signal. So all these Hollywood types, they can't be seen making more money than they should. It'd be bad PR. The proceeds from the podcast will go to out-of-work staff from the host's respective shows, according to Spotify. The Hollywood writers and actors strikes have stretched on throughout the summer, halting much of the industry and leaving thousands of people jobless as the labor wars play out. What we know, when the Writers Guild of America strike started in May, the group renowned yet suddenly unemployed talk show hosts gathered via Zoom to discuss the serious issues of work stoppage creates. So, like, how many episodes are they going to do? Like, one, I hope. I hope not anymore. These men are self-important. They are largely Marxist communists, and these are the most blatant, brazen sellouts to the regime media industrial complex imaginable. They are despised by over half the country. They are watched by about maybe 5 to 10% of the country intermittently at best. And I guess it's a limited series podcast so fans can listen to once private chat. So apparently these guys all hang out together and they talk crap about Trump together. It's, you know, it's pretty depressing. If this is how they talk in private, I genuinely think this is a terrible branding move for the late night hosts of America to get together for this type of just kind of inane, pointless gibberish. Now, I will say, I do have a slight soft spot for Conan O'Brien. The guy's been on air for a long time. I used to watch Conan O'Brien. I was pretty bummed out when NBC kicked him off the Jay Leno perch, and then he went to TBS. I kind of lost track of him when he went to TBS. But apparently, here's the good news. He's probably the smartest, by the way, of the bunch, and I would say the least political. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Daisy, fact-check me. My take from Conan is he's the least political. He was also a Simpsons writer back when Simpson was reigning supreme. And he's not there. He's conspicuously absent. Now, I'm not sure why he's not there. I don't know why they couldn't have six. If they can have five, why not have six? And fans are upset that O'Brien isn't on it. So I would say kudos to Conan O'Brien. You have avoided a career pitfall from being a part of the most cringe, disgusting. Again, what do you call this? Like, it's like the strike. They're calling it Strike Force 5, and it's on Spotify. Apparently, you have to listen to it there or anywhere else, but apparently, they're getting a deal from Spotify. Conan O'Brien has avoided a major pitfall of pop culture. That's my take. You're going to hear Alex Clark and Joe Bob's opinion, which is much more relevant than mine because I have three kids, I follow politics. I don't know about anything to do with late night hosts or Taylor Swift or Morgan Wallen, although I did meet Taylor Swift once. I think we talked about that last time. A lot of you guys sent us emails about that. Alex Clark, are you there?
I'm here. The OG Cubeservative is here to serve you all of the pop culture without the propaganda. Finally.
Seriously. Now, do we have Joe Bob? I'm not sure. Do we have Joe Bob?
I hope I'm here. Dude, every time I come on the Charlie Kirk Show, tech goes down. I swear it is the deep state because I do TV all the time. Nothing ever happens unless it's the Charlie Kirk Show.
Well, we're honored that we're that important that China hates you and us so much. Or it's the CIA. It could be the CIA. I'm not sure. We'll see. Yeah. All right, guys. I just riffed on late night the cringiest thing that we've seen in a long time. Do you guys have any thoughts before we moved on to, like, which I know is going to be Alex's favorite topic of the day, Taylor Swift? Any thoughts on late night? Is this just the worst thing you've ever seen, or do we not care?
Okay, so I just thought it was very funny that yesterday they announced that, you know, all of these late night hosts were now going to be doing this podcast because of the writer's strike and because they're not able to be on the air anymore. And everyone was like, oh, I forgot they're not on the air. Like, nobody remembered that these people weren't on the air anymore. That's how irrelevant they are. And then the best part is, it's like, how stupid are they? They're putting themselves in a position to prove and have, you know, physical evidence now with this recorded podcast of how unfunny they are, because they're not going to have writers. So we're finally going to get to see, oh, we're paying these people for absolutely nothing.
They're completely replaceable. Joe Bob, I actually think you would be a phenomenal late night host. As a matter of fact, I think Turning Point needs to work on Joe Bob's late night. Just like, actually, this is actually really fun. This action needs to happen. You need to do the replacement late night, like, skit series for Turning Point. Who would be your first
guest?
Guest?
I think one of
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, yeah, it would have to be through Turning Point or through some other based organization and not through the standard mechanisms of late night TV. Because like Alex said, I think I would not fit in with their particular crowd. Dude, Alex, I think you hit it straight on the point. I had forgotten that there was a writer's strike. Like, there's so much content already out there without the quote unquote professional entertainers that I forgot about it. And this reminded me, oh yeah, the writers are on strike. And it also reminded me, oh yeah, they're probably not going to come out ahead. And then I think the point about them having to rest on their own laurels is quite funny when you look at it. I'm actually curious to see the next couple episodes, see if it gets better or if they like give it a week and go, yeah, this is not working.
Well, they're also, it says in the article that all of these late night show hosts, they're going to be sharing and having their conversations that usually happen in private. Like, we all know they wouldn't be caught dead sharing whatever conversations that they're actually having in private live on a podcast like this, because their conversations in private are actually probably roasting and making fun of middle Americans, you know, the people that are allegedly supposed to be watching their show, and everything is going to be anti-Trump. So I guess we're just going to be getting a couple episodes of a podcast for more anti-Trump jokes. Yay. That's exactly what America wants. They're about to get humbled so quickly by the numbers and the downloads on this podcast. I guarantee, I would bet so much money that the Charlie Kirk Show gets more average downloads per episode than what this absolute pig pen of a mess is about to get.
Hey, and well, I just want to say, people don't realize how big this audience is. We did 100 million downloads in the last 12 months.
Very
just
good.
Saying.
Dang.
It's kind of big.
They're not going to touch that.
No, they're not going to touch that. Here's what I will say. I think a lot of people are going to watch, like they're going to hate watch. Sometimes I go to MSNBC just to hate watch and just see how bizarre and insane they've become. But I'm to your point, Alex, I'm probably going to tune in now that I know it's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing. Charlie in our chat, by the way, because you brought this up with me last night. I was like, I had no idea. And then Charlie found it on his own, dropped it in another chat I'm in, and was like, did anybody know that like late night wasn't happening? But here's my one question for you. Conan O'Brien, he's not participating. Why?
Anti-ginger hate. The only reason. The absolute only reason. They are against redheads, and they are showing it. It is in full force. That's the only reason Conan wasn't invited.
Gingivitis.
It's a brilliant answer. Can we go to a break now? Just drop the mic. Holy. You know what? That's exactly right. You know? That's exactly right. It's not talked about enough. It's not talked about enough. We've got this whole, like, you know, CRT movement and the 1619 movement. What about the redheads? What about the guys who founded this country that
they can't have him there because he's actually funny. Conan is actually funny, and so the other guys can't have him there because he would overshine them. That's the truth.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I still love Conan.
It's time to take a stand for life. We can say we're pro-life, but what does that actually mean? It means in a post-Roe world, there are states that are more radically pro-death than ever before, aborting babies up until the moment they draw their first breath. And we have a word for that: murder. The Biden regime is more radically pro-abortion than any other in American history. They celebrate abortions the way we celebrate life. Time to do something that we know makes a difference, and that is providing ultrasounds with preborn. When a pregnant girl sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears that baby's heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. Just $28 provides that ultrasound that saves one baby. $140 saves five. And a gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that will literally save thousands of babies for years to come. So donate right now and become a donor. I am a donor, so call 833-850-2229 or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com and give what you can. Become a donor in the fight for life.
We've got Alex Clark and Joe Bob. Joe Bob, Cheap USA contributor. Alex Clark, host of the Spillover podcast. Also another massively successful podcast, by the way. Alex, I think you too will get more downloads than the whatever these guys are. Strike Force 5, whatever you're calling it. We did a 1.0 of this show, Pop Culture Roundup, when Charlie was gone. And it was so successful. I was like, man, we have to, it's backed by popular demand. People love this stuff. I don't really know why people love it, but they love it. So we're going to talk about Taylor Swift because, you know, and if that doesn't have you already a little disgusted and throwing up in your mouth, then I don't know what will. I'm kidding, Alex. We've got Swifties in the audience, folks. We've got Swifties everywhere. All right. So let me just give a little background for the people listening. This tour is projected to make $2 billion. It's supposed to keep going for like another year. As a result of this, Taylor Swift edges closer to becoming a billionaire. It has increased her personal fortune to $740 million with another year of shows to go. And now, as if that wasn't enough, she is planning to release a movie. Let's play cut 164.
This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life. He looks so pretty like a devil is too. She feels funny. We're about to go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going to span 17 years of music. How does that sound? Welcome to the acoustic set. Come up to me and they'd be like, you're gonna just like do a show with like all the albums in it? And I was like, yeah, it's gonna be called the Eras Tour. See you there.
All right.
I wish you could see me because I have goosebumps and tears in my eyes. Guys,
I'm
the biggest Swiftie ever. I'm so excited.
Joe Bob, what's your reaction to seeing that?
My reaction is I don't know that the Charlie Kirk Show has ever aired a minute of Taylor Swift on ever at any point.
I was telling the I was like, turn it off now, please.
It's historic. It's a historic moment.
Here's what I actually think about Taylor Swift. Okay, we all know her politics. She hates Trump. She's turned into a lib or whatever. Alex, you have some great insight on that, I think. Here's what I will say. I think that there's a lot of Taylor Swift hate because she is overtly feminine, unapologetically, you know, bedazzled outfits. She's a blonde, skinny, talented, very Americana. She sort of represents this like old brand of femininity that a lot of the left hates. And yet she succeeds in spite of it. And so I kind of give like a hat tip and a begrudging respect because I support the sort of like brand vibes that she puts out into the world. I think it's good for young girls. I think it's fine. I can't stand her politics, obviously. Alex, you have a take on that. Why do you still like her?
Yeah. So the thing about her being a liberal, first of all, if people are like, well, I can't listen to Taylor Swift anymore because of her politics. Well, then I guess you're giving up all music ever because 99% of all, you know, celebrities, musicians, actors, actresses, they're all liberal. I mean, this is just a given. So I don't care about that. I look at her art. I look at what she produces. It's phenomenal. Nobody can compare. This tour is about to be not only one of the biggest tours or is the biggest tour of a decade, but it's going to become one of the biggest tours in history. as far as concerts go. And people really get riled up when I say this, but Taylor Swift is up there now at Michael Jackson level. And I know that's a big, it's a big statement to make, but Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level of fame at this point. And you're just really, you look stupid if you deny it.
Joe Bob.
So here's what I'm curious about. Do we think Taylor Swift and her politics are like completely lost? Or do you think there's any sort of redemption? She's kind of pushing that age now where people start to kind of get a better perspective on how the world works and start to see kind of, you know, maybe things aren't all of the liberal ideological glamour that I once thought there was. What's that that Winston Churchill quote? If you're not a liberal in your 20s, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative in your 30s, you have no brain. I am not entirely ready to give up on Taylor Swift, especially with her background and the amount of money she's going to have to pay in taxes after this Eras tour. I kind of think there's a possibility of maybe her seeing the light eventually. And I say that optimistically only because I genuinely think and can probably make a pretty compelling case that Swifties are the most powerful political group in the country. And if we can get Taylor to turn on a dime, and again, I don't know how possible that is, but if that's possible, I think, you know, we could be headed in the right direction pretty quickly. So I'm not entirely ready to give up in hope entirely, even though some of the things she's said in the past has not been awesome.
Well, so Alex, I have a question on that. So I know there was like a season where Taylor Swift was being pretty vocal about her politics. Is she still doing that, or is she kind of like put that on the back burner? We're not here. I haven't heard as much about it.
I think we're going to hear more because we're coming up now on an election. So that's going to – she's going to now be using her platform. She's feeling more confident because she is so beloved. She's bigger than she's ever been. People, she's really in the good graces of public again. So she's going to feel confident to start talking politics because she feels like that's what she needs to do. Now, the T is – and this is what Joe Bob doesn't know. I have talked about this extensively on my YouTube channel, Real Alex Clark. The reason Taylor Swift came out as liberal, it was the only way that she could survive cancel culture. So for those of you who don't remember, the summer of 2016, Taylor Swift was canceled. Taylor Swift is over party was trending all over Twitter. And it was all because she came out against Kanye and Kim Kardashian for recording a phone call, that whole saga. And the only way that she could come back into the public eye after a year in hiding, the first thing she did, if you remember, was she came out and she supported Phil Bredesen in the Tennessee Democrat race. That was the only way. She was like, okay, well, what can I do? Even all of Hollywood has turned on me. Well, if I come out finally as a flaming lib, they're all going to love me again and they're going to have my back. And so that was her penance. She had to come out as a staunch Democrat supporter, being vocal about politics, which was something she had never done. That was her last, like, you know, safety net to kind of throw there to kind of get back in the good graces of the public. So she'll never turn back on that. I don't think she's ever going to come out as a conservative or support a Republican running for office because of that reason, because that was the only way that she got to basically, you know, revive her career.
This is insane. So Daisy, who's a big Swiftie, is sending these pictures from this. So apparently Taylor Swift went to a wedding in New Jersey last weekend. And fans shut down the street when they found out that she was there. I don't know how they found out. Maybe Daisy has the intel there.
This is the evidence I have. This is the evidence.
Show the next one. Yeah, I mean, this to a point to Joe Bob's point, this might be the most powerful, cohesive sort of voting bloc in the country. But I want to go back to what you said, Alex, and I would love the audience's feedback on this. Does that make you sort of like despise Taylor Swift that she was willing to essentially, like, whether she believed it or not, you know, play the political card, do her penance, the safety net, as you said, Alex, just to get Hollywood off her back? I mean, you're essentially just, you know, feeding chum to the sharks at that point just to get them away from the boat. I mean, that feels very inauthentic. To me, I find that hateable and despisable. I'll be really honest. Like, if that's the truth, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
Alex, you have thoughts.
As a conservative Swiftie, that was definitely the most disappointing thing for me as a fan. I understood why she was doing it, though, but Yes, that was the most unlikable for me that she's ever been. But then she just continues to put out art that tops the last thing she does. You know, every album tops the last. Every tour tops the last. So it's like, well, I love everything she's doing. Now, if all of a sudden her art started suffering and she was an insufferable feminist, you know, liberal, then yes, I would probably not be a Swiftie anymore. But she keeps delivering. So as long as she keeps doing that, I'm going to stay a Swiftie. And I know that drives people nuts. But hey, if you are a Taylor Swift fan, then come subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube and we can be conservative Swifties together.
All right. So I want to transition this a little bit, Joe Bob. So I know nothing about Beyonce now, but apparently the people in Hollywood are saying Taylor Swift, Barbie, and Beyonce are credited for summer's billion-dollar pop culture boom. So what the heck does Beyonce have to do with any of this, first of all? I know about Barbie. That movie did like gangbusters, right? And apparently it was not a feminist movie. Alex, you were saying that it was not a feminist movie. But what does Beyonce have to do with this? Joe Bob, you don't know. I don't know either. What is Beyonce? How does she play into this?
You know, as the most formidable Beyonce expert on this panel, I will have to tell you, I have no idea. I think maybe she just got thrown in because that's what you have to do when you're talking about people as big as Taylor Swift and as big as the Barbie movie. Beyonce is just kind of up there as one of those cultural icons. Alex said Taylor Swift is probably up there with Michael Jackson. I think Beyonce is probably in that category too, not necessarily doing anything huge right now, but when she does do stuff, it goes crazy. And I think that's to a fault, not to get on a crazy Beyonce rant, but in terms of the name and the power that her name carries, she's able to put out some pretty bad music and get away with it just because of her celebrity status. And so I don't know where I'm going from here, but at the end of the day, I don't know why she's in the conversation at the moment.
She's got a tour. She's got a world tour. I didn't even know about this.
Yeah. So Barbie, Taylor Swift, and Beyonce. This is the three like big money-making pop culture things that have happened this summer. Beyonce does have a tour going on simultaneously. It's just not near the level of Taylor. But those are the two big concerts.
All right. So it says it's the highest grossing tour for an R&B artist.
Yes.
As well as for a black artist. Okay. But here's my real question. Did Beyonce go like to the dark side? She was like a church girl. That then is she like a? There's some darkness there, and I'm not making any sort of like cultural references. I'm talking about like spiritually. I've heard rumors. Is there any truth to this, Alex? Do we need to be like fear for our children listening to it?
There are people that say that Jay-Z and Beyonce are members of the Illuminati. I don't want to say yes or no, but Bohemian Grove, have you ever had a reservation from the Knowleses? You let us know.
Would love your thoughts. freedomatcharliekirk.com.
I love a company called Christensen Arms. They're known for these lightweight carbon fiber barrels on their hunting rifles. I've hosted the CEO on our program before, and I own a Christensen Arms rifle myself. They are an innovative gun company. Our friends at Christensen Arms are offering something quite fun for fans of our show to activate. This one's so cool, just a free $35 hat for our listeners. Just head to Christensen Arms website and add the items you want in your shopping cart along with your favorite style of hat. Final step, just enter promo code Kirk and boom, the hat is free while supplies last. This is a fun short-term offer, folks, and it is going to sell out quickly. So get over there right now before you forget to scoop this deal. They currently have over 30 styles of hats to choose from. Google Christensen Arms Charlie Kirk, and my show's landing page should pop up in the search results. Christensen Arms is defining the future of firearms. We love partnering with these guys and are happy for their success. Go grab your free hat today.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick one here, and then we're going to get into this Bachelor story. All right, Alex Clark. Joe Bob, you could answer this too. Morgan Wallen apparently shaved his head. I heard about this because our team was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he shaved his head. Everybody, that's not even the good one. That's like, I guess, mid-cut or something. There it is. So he's on tour again, apparently, because he couldn't sing for a while. Alex Clark, hot or not? Do we like this? Do we hate it? What are people saying?
I hate it. And he looks like a naked mole rat. And I was extremely sad, like almost started throwing up when I saw it.
Okay, great. Joe Bob.
I was pro mullet solely for the fact that I could use Morgan Wallen to point to convince my wife to let me grow a mullet. And now that his mullet is gone, my shot is basically zero.
Okay. So is he back on tour? Is he back on tour, Alex? So his voice is recovered?
Yeah, his voice is recovered. He's been on tour. It's going really well for him. Everybody seems to really love it. Really good reviews for him. Drake, not so much. Drake is also on tour this summer, and everybody has been leaving super disappointed. Like, it's boring. He changes the tune of all of his songs that everybody knows, so you can't even sing along. Like, everybody hates Drake's tour. But Morgan Wallen, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, all good reviews.
All right. Okay, moving on to our next story here. The Golden Bachelor, we got a Variety article here for you. The Golden Bachelor, cast revealed, meet the women vying for Grandpa Jerry's heart. And we also have a picture of this guy. Let's go ahead and show – I have to say – now, Joe Bob, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to. You're saying that this is the hottest 72-year-old man you've ever seen. That's your words, not mine.
You know, I thought our private texts were going to remain private, but now that you've outed me, yes, I did think that he was a very attractive 72-year-old man.
I will say the guy looks good for 72. I'm not going to lie. So apparently all these women are what? They're 60 and above. Do we have a picture of these women? Daisy, grab us a picture of these women. I have to say – I wanted to scoff at this. Is this going to be a success? Is this real? Like, are people going to watch this? Because I stopped watching The Bachelor a long, long time ago. My wife used to make me watch it. It's a long story. I never liked it. It was more for the marriage than anyways. So are people going to watch this, Alex Clark?
Yeah. So I was a huge Bachelor fan and then totally cut it. I have not seen one episode since they fired Chris Harrison because I was very upset about that. This show has brought me back. I am fully invested. The women are stunning. Wow. The women are stunning. The guy, Jerry, the Bachelor, is stunning. They all have very interesting stories and quirks. One of them says she's like the biggest Harry Styles fan ever. We've got fitness instructors in there. Like, it's a fun crowd. And what I'm hearing from producers is that these women are all a lot more, obviously, because of their age, emotionally mature compared to, like, you know, the age of the normal people that you cast. So the types of drama that happen on the show are so different for a reality show. And everyone I know is wanting to watch this. Like, everybody is super, super hype.
Wow. Interesting. A little contrarian take. Joe Bob, are you going to tune in?
I'm looking at it from a business perspective, right? Like, they've got, an older gentleman vying for the hearts of older women. Who are the only people that watch TV anymore? I think this is on ABC. Everybody that I know that is under 40 has already cut the cord. And so if they're looking to get the target demographic that still has the cable box, this seems like the exact perfect thing to fit that demo and hopefully rake in a bunch of money. So just from a business standpoint, I think it's kind of interesting. And I think they're right on target on who's still watching, old school TV.
This is very cynical, Joe Bob, but I have to say, I think you're onto something. I think they realized this is the way to revitalize the Bachelor franchise. Now, let me just say, Alex was begging. Oh, do you want to say something, Alex?
Well, I was just going to say, how funny is it going to be to see these women getting catty with each other? And who's going to be the villain? Who's going to be the crier, right? Every season has a villain and a crier. And you're looking at these 60-plus-year-old women like it's hysterical. Everybody's going to be tuning in to see that.
Now, do you think it's going to be more classy in tone? Or do you think it's going to be more like Real Housewives or whatever that, you know, where they all are drugged out on pharmaceuticals?
Is there going to be a fantasy suite? Fantasy suite.
it's reality
just for our
TV.
14-year-old kids watching, you know, don't get too into that last comment. But yes, Joe Bob, 15 seconds.
I say it's reality TV. It's going to be chaos at every point. But if you don't know, play Bachelor Fantasy. If you don't know, look it up. It'll make it bearable with your wife.
All right, guys, that's it. We have to wrap it up. No more pop culture. Thank you. That went quick. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If this show has changed your life for the better, if you get your information from the show, please consider joining our all-new members.charliekirk.com. We call it Charlie Kirk Exclusive because you get content there that we don't offer anywhere else, including a weekly column, including behind-the-scenes video calls that we haven't rolled out just yet, but that's going to happen with Charlie himself, producers of the show, me and Blake. and lots of other exclusive content, exclusive interviews that we don't post anywhere else. And guess what? If you sign up right now, you get a free t-shirt. That's right. An annual membership gets you a free t-shirt, the Never Surrender shirt. It's our most popular shirt, and we'll send it out to you for free. It's as easy as that. Go to members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.